The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Hello, everyone. Good morning, good evening, as we're here live on the FICA Media Network YouTube channel for another live edition of The Wrap for your listening and viewing pleasure. It is a sad day. Yes, it is. But we shall endure. We shall overcome as we try to give you some semblance of positivity to shed some light on some sad news that broke over the weekend in WWE, but we will soldier through, we will power through, because that's what we do. Isn't that familiar? It's what we do. Yes, it is. All righty, I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the reigning, defending WWE speed champion, Rin Sinclair from NXT. I bring to you, back on the wrap, as always, the one, the only, and he might be salty tonight, but I'm going to also call him, at least for this show, depressed Scott Young.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm also happy to be here at the New Day funeral. RIP to the New Day, because whenever they go to the AEW, it's going to be any day. So we'll be looking forward to that, because as you call him, Anthony would be a fool not to scoop these boys up. Let me tell you that, okay? But yeah, so I'm looking forward to getting into it. But man, that's a tough one to swallow. I'm gonna tell you that. That was a tough one to swallow.
That was a tough one to wake up to, because you know what? It's Saturday. You sleep in. You think there's no news. And then I wake up around like 9:30, 10 o'clock, people talking about the New Day being in the alumni section of WWE.com. I'm like, say what? Excuse me? And then it breaks that it's true that they were gone from WWE, a mutual decision to leave, because apparently TKO asked them to take a pay cut after signing another 5-year contract that runs through 2030, and they said peace out. And I don't blame them in the least. Know your worth, understand your value, and know when to walk away. And as Scott said, you know, I was sad for maybe 5 minutes, then I realized I might get any day versus the Young Bucks. I might get Xavier Woods or Austin Creed versus Kenny Omega. What the hell do I have to be sad about? Please get your bag. TK, sign them. Please, expeditiously, as soon as you can.
Yeah, I don't even know what Kofi's name's going to be, but Creed is definitely going to be Austin going forward. But Yeah, I don't even, but I, they'll be fine. They can go to TNA, they can go to New Japan, they can go to AEW, they can just do indie shows and people will go crazy for them. Like they're in a position right now where they can, the world is at their fingertips. Like they can be the tag team gods of the indies. They can do whatever they want. So, you know, it sucks because they're, you figured those two would be WWE lifers, but no, Fernando said Kofi is real name. So he's going to be Kofi. He just won't be Kingston. He'll be Kofi something. You got Jake something. Now we got Kofi something.
I'll take Kofi something. But yeah, I'll take it.
Kofi something's not bad. Kofi something. So, but this is cool. I think they're going to do great. Because they can do whatever they want.
Exactly. And you know what? It's the prime of their careers. And for the last year and a half, WWE's been playing in their faces with this heel turn that went absolutely nowhere. So thank you for giving me a bag. But at the same time, can you creatively fulfill me too? And when you try to ask me to take a pay cut on top of me getting shitty creative, then yeah, it's time for me to go while I'm in my prime, where I can go somewhere else, spread my wings, and see what is out there. And there are plenty of opportunities. People got their wallets open, ready to spend that money to cut a check to say, hey, we're going to have Kofi something and Austin Creed signed somewhere. But I do believe the landing destination will be AEW. And I know there's a 90-day non-compete clause. So let's just pencil in all in Wembley Stadium for their debut.
Yeah, Consequences Creed and Kofi something are going to show up after the Young Bucks win the AEW tag team titles again. And then, that the tweet that one of the Jacksons, not talking Michael or Tito, put out where he said that they were going to wrestle the New Day and everyone would rejoice. So looks like he's a prophet again.
Listen, they've hit it. They've hit it multiple times now. And to get this one is huge. And the respect level between them, even across promotions, has been big for almost 10 years now. They wore their merch in New Japan for their matches. It was canon on being the elite. And I remember the video game convention a few years ago when they played Street Fighter. And that crossover was just a moment in time. And that was the closest we got to like the Bucks and Kenny and the New Day head-to-head playing video games. And now the possibility of them having matches in AEW is a huge deal. And I know there's some rumblings in WWE about retaining Xavier Woods for what exactly? Probably up, up, down, down. But you have to drop a hefty bag for that to happen, because he can take that to AEW, cultivate that, and build it from the ground up and own it. So why would I take less to stay around and do nothing, essentially?
Yeah. This is the new reality we're in. When we're losing, all-time greats like the New Day, one of the greatest factions, tag teams in WWE history, and they're being let go because they're like, it's very telling of kind of where we're at and kind of what they think of tag team wrestling.
They think very little. They think very little of their veterans, and you're asking people to take pay cuts when you're making so much money. That's the crazy part. You're making money, big money. You're pulling in, what, hundreds of millions of dollars every single quarter, and yet and still you're trying to cut corners by cutting people's pay. It's ridiculous. But the question becomes, what is the limit? And ultimately, it comes down to the fans. Like, how much are you willing to accept from this company that continues to feel soulless at this point? That's been a word I've been seeing a lot on the socials the last 48 to 72 hours. If this company feels soulless and that you're letting go of quality people, and that outside of the tippy top in this company, no one is truly safe. No one. You think that you're Teflon? You're not. They might give you a call one day and say, hey, can you take a 50% pay cut? For what exactly? To save money where? When you're making money, the executives are making 8 figures a year and you can't pay me accordingly? You can't pay me my worth?
Yeah, this is going to be a reoccurring theme. There's the rumors of more people being asked to take these cuts, and I think we're going to see more of it as we go. And there's been a good amount of releases, and it wasn't just the New Day that was released as well. So, like, there's a lot of people being let go, and you could tell how they're kind of manufacturing things. Like, R-Truth and Damian Priest are your tag team champions on SmackDown. So yeah. That tells you that they can let go of a tag team and then just put two guys together and give them the belt. So this is the new reality. Like, this is where we are. And, unless you're a goat like Miz, I think you could be in some real trouble.
Now, Scott, stop that right now. Even Miz says, hell, I might not be safe. I might not be safe. They might cut me. I'm a double Grand Slam champion. I've done it all, man. I am the company. Yes, man. I am the ambassador. And they could cut my ass. They could.
They won't cut him until they find somebody who's willing to do as much media. Now, if they find someone willing to do as much media, then we might be in trouble.
Yeah, we might be. But don't you ever say legend. The Miz, he is safe. Shit, nobody's safe. As Fernando said, is Cody safe? Hell no. They've been trying to botch that man's main event for the last couple of years. He ain't safe. Nobody's safe. Even Roman's not safe. They said, hey, Roman, you want this money? You gonna be working in June? He said, nah, that don't work for me. I'm staying at home. And he did.
No, Roman's safe. I think Roman is safe. They will not let Roman go, because what they don't want to do is make him spiteful, because then he'll just go to eight. Can you imagine you pissing this man off and him be like, word? Okay. Cause he'll do it. Like you can't do that to the biggest name in wrestling, like, but outside of like The Rock or somebody, like Roman is the biggest, closest to full-time wrestling name in wrestling. And that's the guy you want to kind of push away. Okay. You keep playing with fire. Cause Tony got the fat pockets.
He does. He got the dollars.
He got the dollars. And even though he may be trying to save some money here and there, if somebody like Roman Reigns comes, he will pay him whatever. He will give him a blank check.
Yes.
And say, whatever you want, you put on there. I need you here. And what? The face-to-face with him and Kenny, him and Moxley. Don't play with that. Don't play with that. Because if he goes, Seth will be not far behind, and Tyler Black will show up as well.
Have a whole Shield where you get in a whole nother company. Wildness. Y'all remember one of the greatest AEW pay-per-views of all time, All Out 2021, when you had like Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole show up on the same night? Them lights going off, Roman Reigns, Tyler Black rolling through. Come on. Tony has the money. We have to understand, like, yes, he can absolutely overpay for whoever he wants. He just judicious how he breaks the check. Yeah. He can afford everybody. Look how many people he retained and don't use them for months. He don't cut nobody until that contract is expired.
Britt Baker out here making real money. Dennis money and wrestling money. I'm talking
to sit at home on ice for a year. Tony won't cut you. I will pay you until that last day of your contract expires, and then you're free to go. I'm not going to cut you. I got it like that. So clearly there's levels to this. If he ain't going to cut nobody, how come TKO cutting people? To cover what budget?
No, I don't know, but shout out to Britt Baker, man. No, that's the life I'm trying to live.
Listen, you hear me? Not working for a year, and I can work at the dentist's office twice a week and still get my weekly AEW check on the 1st and 15th. I know that's right. I know that's right. Keith Lee still making money. You right.
Poor Keith Lee. Whatever he may be hearing is true.
Listen, good for you.
Getting a check.
God bless. Listen. And then as Fernando said, nobody thought Hogan, Macho Man, Hall, Nash would go to WCW first. True. True. And they all jump. So you never say never in this business. There are no guarantees. And I will guarantee you that CM Punk will not be going back to AEW. That will not be happening. That's like one, like, no. That has to be one big old kumbaya for that to happen.
I think we can guarantee Roman's not going to AEW.
Yeah, we can guarantee Cody if they push that man too far.
Cody will go back. I can see Cody going back. And we get a hero's welcome.
Yes, like I've ventured out. I have accomplished my dreams and goals. I finished my story. So I'm coming back home to the place I built all these years ago. Tony and I have made up. It's all good. It's gravy. You know, so. It's tough out here, y'all. It is tough. Kurt Angle went to TNA. He did, and arguably had a better career there versus his run in WWE with the bangers he delivered. So, yeah, anything can happen in this business. And as you said earlier, Fernando, it is great that you have options. You have, like, multi-billion dollar companies out here that can pay people to work and to show up and to book these dream matches. You have the indie scene still thriving, these promotions that do have the money to spare to book people. New Japan is an option too still. So I love that for the talent who has options, that you're just not going to be reliant on WWE to get you by. It just depends how hungry you are to get booked, to try something different, to step outside your comfort zone. And that's a big test for some people that are now wondering what that new normal is for them outside of WWE.
Yeah, everybody ain't the New Day and everybody ain't Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. But I think the path has been laid out. You know, you just got to go out and grind. And we're seeing that, like, we're seeing people who get released, they, you know, they're very quickly getting into, you know, independent shows, you know, you see the posters and stuff like that. So I think the blueprint has been laid out, and it's just a matter of how much you want to hustle and go get it at that point.
Absolutely. So we're going to be talking about the New Day. We haven't even scratched the surface because we have to talk about three Black men that were put together, and it was all Xavier Woods' idea to say, hey, Kofi's not doing nothing. Big E's languishing. Let's form a group. And we have to remember, as we talked about a few weeks ago, they were preachers. They were happy, clapping preachers that preached positivity, and they got booed. I never forget, it was WrestleMania 31 in Santa Clara, California, and they got booed. And they said, New Day sucks. And after that, you know, it was rough sledding for a bit. But I remember there was an episode of Monday Night Raw, and it was around the Father's Day season, and they were feuding with the primetime players. And the thing that popped me was it was the New Day coming out, and they had this banner saying that Kofi Kingston was the real father of the year over Titus O'Neil. And when they started skipping down to the ring, I knew then they struck gold.
Yeah, they had a little run there where they were the highlight of Monday Night Raw. Like, every week you knew you were going to get a good segment out of the New Day, whether it be a skit, whether it be an in-ring segment, whether it be them wrestling a six-man. Like, WWE had a little period there where they really struck gold with the three-man tags. Like, the Wyatt family, the Shield, the New Day. Like, they really kind of struck gold with a lot of that kind of building, forming, and really creating legacies around the same time. And the New Day, just from going from what, like you said, going from a dead on arrival gimmick, completely as biased as you could find Black people. They probably heard Big E doing something one day. I was like, oh, he's a preacher. You hear that, man? Big E probably went, one time. And that's all Vince heard. It was like, oh, there it is. There it is. So to take that and make that into one of the greatest gimmicks, some of the greatest moments, them being the host, and then, you know, people thinking it was them at WrestleMania, and then bringing out the Hardys. Like, they have moments where during Kofi's run. This is a moment that's been going viral since they've been released, but when the Usos came out and said they forfeit, like the New Day were a part of that. The tag team division being relevant, the historic run, helping the bar get over. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many things that the New Day have been a part of, have helped make relevant. And they, for them to have Kofi have his run and stay together, for them to have Big E have his run and they stay together, for Xavier Woods to have his run and they stay together. Like that's very telling, very incredible for a group like that. Especially a group of black men to be able to have that type of longevity, success, and just honestly be the consistent backbone of the tag division. Whenever there needed to be like a reset, or you just needed to put the titles on somebody you could trust, you put it on the New Day. Like, and you always could count on them for good matches. They have some of the best tag team matches of all time. Classics versus versus the Usos, that little run. The Bludgeon Brothers, mm-hmm. they had really good matches mm-hmm. against them as well. The Bar, like I mentioned earlier, like they set a standard for tag team wrestling. And once they stopped being the centerpiece of the division faltered a little bit. So I think what they've done as a trio, I don't think we'll ever, I honestly don't think we'll see another black group that successful in wrestling. I would be hard pressed if we ever see another group of three black men all achieve the level of success collectively and individually that we saw with the New Day.
Yeah. I mean, they all got pushes. The tag team runs were interchangeable. Like any combination of them as champs just worked in every single way. They were a highlight on Monday Night Raw. Like they had me laughing until I was crying with their skits. Their association with Seth Rollins was a lot of fun. The shade they would throw at the superstars every single week in the ring was just amazing. And then you have to think about the marketing. Bootios was just a word in a promo, and they legitimately got cereal made called Bootios that was sold in stores.
Yeah, you can't, like I said, you can't overstate how impactful and successful they were as a tag team, man. Like you said, they got actual food made in store. They came out in a box of Bootios.
Yes, at WrestleMania.
I mean, like, what more can you ask for? Big E won a during COVID. I'm pretty sure Big E won a ladder match to win the tag titles by himself.
Yes, there was like he did.
Wasn't it like a triple threat singles yes. match? For the,
okay. Yes, and he won it for the entire team. Wow.
They've been a part of some incredible things. Kofi Mania doesn't happen without the New Day.
No.
You know, like Big E's rise, I don't think happens without the New Day. Kofi, I don't think Xavier Woods probably doesn't become King of the Ring without the New Day. Like, that engine that they all got to have and put into their backs as they continued to rise up the ranks just can't be overstated, man. This it really is like as happy and as great as what they're going to do next is going to be. It is kind of a shame that they went out on the whimper that they did, just because of the legacy and the longevity that they had as a group, man. It's they are one of a kind. They got to be the greatest black tag team of all time. Like I think they have to be in the running, if not the.
I agree. I mean, it was a run that was remarkable for over 10 years. And it's sad how it ended the way that it did, that there's no finality, that you don't get to see them one last time. You don't get to even see the Big E reunion of them working things out in storyline. And now you wonder, hell, we might see them in the WWE Hall of Fame in maybe 5 years. 10 years potentially. So I think that WWE fumbled. We have an experienced tag team that has a lot to offer to the younger generation. And they were teasing the story with the New Day and Javon Evans and Kofi, you know, trying to take Javon under his wing. That could have been a really good storyline. But you asked your veterans who've been there, who've done so much for your company, to take a pay cut. And then you expect them to say yes and undercut their value and worth. And I'm glad they said no. And I hope that a lot of more people say no to this, because you cannot just diminish me and just say, hey, you're worth this. No, I'm worth everything that I have earned in this company for over, in Kofi's case, 20 years. And in Xavier's case, 16 years. So you just can't just say, hey, do this if you want to stay around. Like, no, I know my worth and value. I'm in the prime of my career. I can go somewhere else. I can make more money. I won't be discounted. I won't be disrespected. And I can get more somewhere else. I can put more people over somewhere else versus where I am right now. And I think about the possibilities of, I think about the possibilities of them going to AEW, and you see maybe Kofi versus a Kevin Knight, for example. Like, that just brings out, like, wow. And you have Swerve there too. All of that Black history, all of that Black magic right there somewhere else, when you could have had it in WWE, but y'all too cheap.
Yeah, I mean, we do have the Black youth movement going on right now, but I just think even everything you said is correct, like, to have those type of Black veterans. But even outside of that, just to have them as the veterans in the locker room, like, every locker room and every sport keeps a veteran. Veterans around who may not play, but you keep them around for the locker room, for the morale, to have someone for the younger people to look up, to go to talk to if they need to have someone reliable. If you need someone just to be the backbone of a division, like, they can still do that even in their current state. So I just think there's so much they could have brought to the table. I mean, there's a run in AAA that could have been made by them. Mm-hmm. Just to keep them around. That's just a baffling release, just on so many levels, whether it's them being, almost larger than life. Well, not larger than life, but Black icons in the business. I mean, when you really think about it, as far as what they've done, like, they've really established themselves to them just being great hands that you can have as a backbone division in a dwindling tag division that you have right now.
Child, there is no tag division. They're both dead on both shows. It's just depressing. And then you lose your ace tag team that can still elevate people, can still do things if you push them accordingly, if you try, and now that's gone. But I will always appreciate the memories. Kofi Mania is a moment that will last and live on forever, despite how it ended by the hands of Redacted on their first SmackDown on Fox. The moment, the buildup, the wherewithal of WWE to pivot when Kofi got hot, because you know, happenstance happens. Injuries happen. I think it was due to Mustafa Ali getting hurt. And then Kofi gets into that match and he balls out. And he wrestles like his life depended on it. And from that day forward, he was locked in. And I'll give the other Redacted his due, because you did push Kofi. You did pivot. You said, you know what? Let's roll with Kofi Mania. I like the sound of that. You know, this guy has been in the game for a very long time, 11 years, has never touched a major championship outside of the tag team and US and IC title. Let's go. Let's swing for the fences. Let's do this. And Kofi had one of the greatest WrestleMania matches against Daniel Bryan. One of the greatest moments ever, because they listened to the people. And Kofi, whatever took over his body that night, said, in this moment, I won't be denied. You're not going to just sideline me. This isn't just me being a placeholder. I'm built for this. I'm meant for this. I've always been ready for this moment.
Yeah, and I thought he had a really good reign. I thought RKFTR It was a great kind of foil for the New Day when FTR and RKO, Randy Orton, teamed up. That was great. Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler. Like, I think Kofi had a really good run. Like, I think his reign was what it was supposed to be, a strong run. Got big names. He got to beat. I think people just remember how it ended, and by who it ended by, and how we never got reparations for that until Oba. Mm-hmm. But now that we got our reparations, I think we can look back more fondly on the Kofi reign, and just remember that, like, all the people that he beat. Like, he had a great match with Samoa Joe where he dove out the cage to win the match. Like, there's so many good things about his run that we can look back on fondly. So I'm just happy that he got it at WrestleMania over Daniel Bryan, who was honestly essentially Kofi Mania before Kofi Mania. Mm-hmm. So, like, the parallels there were just incredible as well. So, again, it sucks that they're gone. They're going to do great things, but they left a plethora of memories and fondness and matches and moments, promos for us to look back on.
Absolutely. And the fits too, man. The fits, man. The creativity of the fits was amazing. And not only that, you know, let's talk about the culture, man. Like, they represented the culture so well, in that we can be smart, we can be nerdy, we can be video game nerds, we can love anime, we can love the Golden Girls. All of that was expressed through the New Day. And I want to shout out Xavier for Up, Up, Down, Down. Like, one of my favorite channels. It got me through the pandemic, y'all. Let me tell you something. The party playing Uno got me through some tough times. And it was great comedy. I loved it. It gave me life. And, hell, it made me get Uno. I bought Uno. I bought the game because they played it every single week. So Xavier Woods tapping into that, doing, like, interviews with talent by playing video games to get their personality out, to get some background that WWE wasn't doing. He was doing it. He was doing the profiles the company wasn't doing. He was getting talent over, getting nicknames over. How do we know Binky is Bianca Belair? Because of Xavier Woods. Everybody knows Binky, Xavier. We know who Binky is.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a big loss on a lot of different levels, but what they do next is I think it's going to intrigue people, and I think they're going to show that more people were invested in them than I think TKO probably thought, and it's going to be too late at that point.
Oh, well, when they're swimming in dough in high seven figures in AEW with the merch, with the feuds, I'm here for it. Like I said, I grieved for 5 minutes. Then I thought, oh, I get my Bucks match with the Any Day. I'm good. I am so good. I am peachy. I am fine. I'll be okay.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Consequences Creed is going to bring Pac-Man back and everything. It's going to be fantastic.
And listen, Kenny Omega's like, listen, Consequences, you and I, we're going to get a 6-star match from Dave Meltzer. Bet. You're getting 6 stars.
Yeah. Kofi, Consequences, Xavier, they ain't getting 6 stars.
They are. Kid is listening. Listen, at the most, I'll get you 5.5.
They're going to get 4.75.
No, they won't. They'll get 5.5. Kenny's going to go above and beyond the Bucks and the Any Day. Oh, they're going 5.75.
Absolutely.
You know it's coming.
Absolutely not.
Scott, a bag is going to be unlocked. It's going to be the 5-star-plus bag.
No, they both got bags.
Yes.
Dave ain't giving them boys 5 stars. It's going to take at least a year to get that WWE stench off of them for like, you know what? Now we can give them the 5.
You know what, Scott? I'm betting you right now. Let's take a bet. And in a year's time, Consequences and Kofi something, they're going to have at least 2 5-star or more matches in AEW. Wow. For you.
I'll take that bet. I'll take that bet.
And you'll lose.
I'll take that bet. They might get one. If you give them FTR and the Bucks and, like, yes, Yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe. But I'm not out. Two.
Ah, two. Yeah, it's kinda a lot. If you got Omega, the Bucks, FTR, definitely, definitely.
If Big E miraculously comes back and we get a six man of the Elite versus the
Elite, then I might
concede the five and a half. I might concede that, but that's not happening either.
Listen, I need Big E to book whatever Rey Mysterio's booking in Mexico. Go get those magic stem cells in your neck. Let those babies rejuvenate and heal your neck. And if those bones fuse, you take your ass to AEW, get you a 5-star match. You going out there and get it.
Man, Big E said, I'm about to come back to WWE and get a more emotional return than Edge. I'm good. I'm going to get my Royal Rumble moment.
Listen, you never say never in this business. Trust me when I say the modern medicine miracles that take place, you never say never. Even though he might say he's retired, I still hold out hope, damn it. I can still believe.
Yeah, you can.
Yes. All righty. And Curryhead, hello. Good evening to you. So what's going on? Keela, if I was Tony Khan, I would do a one-night tag team tournament and call it the Jay Briscoe tournament. Actually, with all the tag teams in AEW, you could do that. You could.
Well, if he does decide to do that and he says he's got a surprise team, we know any day now is coming.
I do love the aspects of any day now would be like their name, and I'm here for it. Like, I would love that because their tag team is so deep. And then think about this too, Scott. Guess who's else there in AEW? The Hurt Syndicate. You could run that again too, properly.
You could. And that's a very easy segue in. Like, I guess who else is coming here? So, yeah, there's a lot of connections there between AEW and any day.
I love it. So I'm just fantasy booking. Like I said, I am fine. I'm sad for a day, but any day now I'm going to be all right. Cause I know I'm gonna get my dream matches and my 5-star classics. I'll be okay. But I know that Scott is also in bereavement because something happened. And I know it wounded him when this news broke on Saturday as well, that the great Tonga Loa was released.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, unfortunate things happen to goats, to legends. And like everything we mentioned about the New Day, the great...
Okay. You can't even keep a straight face.
The great, incomparable, and ultra talented Tonga Loa, okay, is not only going to make what Matt Cardona did on the Indies look like child's play.
Wow.
Okay, not only is he going to do that, but he might just go back home and take that IWGP heavyweight title and be like, you know what, it's my time. Tonga Loa's back.
You know what? You to say that delivery with a straight face is amazing to me, that you believe that with the conviction in your voice to say, like, the greatest, the best to ever do it lies. The man that was scared to climb a ladder 2 WrestleMania years ago, that guy.
But it ended up standing on top of the ladder for in the most dangerous way possible, was standing up there with them belts.
Oh, gosh. And then another release or departure, they're phrasing it now in WWE speak, Jeff Cobb. They had my man wearing Juggalo face paint for a year and they did nothing with him. They brought him in, changed his name, the most generic name they could give somebody, JC Chavez Mateo, and now he's gone. It's just what a waste of a year. Not even a year in WWE. They cut him right before he made the 1-year mark in WWE. So the MFTs are down half their crew.
Yeah, so now it's just my family stump. So, I mean, We let go of Tonga. We let go of Jesus Christ, Mateo. And now it's just solo tall Tonga. And the tame Tonga, Tama Tonga. So it's just, I don't know what's going on, man. Like, I don't know. I saw a graphic the other day that showed like the 8-man ladder match that they had at SummerSlam, I think it was last year. Mm-hmm. And there's only like one team left.
That's crazy. And it's the Street Profits. That's it. You already know.
And Fraxium, too. Yeah.
Two survivors. That's it.
I don't know what's going on, man. So, shout out to Solo and shout out to Tala, the Tall Tonga, man, for making it,
for surviving. And my man, Tama Tonga Cheddar Biscuits, you know what? We're surviving and we're making do. To cut your brother, that's crazy, actually. That's wild. And Curry had also notes that I feel like we're about to see a resurgence in tag teams in AEW. How can you drop the bag like that, TKO? Great question. You know, there is no investment in tag team wrestling right now. Look who your tag team champs are on SmackDown. No offense to Damian Priest and R-Truth, but those are our champs right now. On Monday Night Raw, it's Logan Paul and bootleg Justin Timberlake. Or as Montez called that man on the socials, Timu Justin Bieber. That's who your champs are. Representing tag team wrestling, two makeshift teams who aren't very over.
To be fair, Austin Theory looks like he could eat Justin Bieber, but I think he's more of a, like I mentioned before, he's more of a creator wrestler 36. I'm gonna tell you this though, we could talk about them as a tag team, but when Logan Paul drops Austin Theory and decides to go on his own, I think he's going to do really good things. Like, I think he's got a nice singles run on the way after this.
I know he desperately wants to be a babyface. I know he does. Good luck with that. Good luck. Cause I know that's, I know that's what he wants to do. I know that's his end game. We'll see, truly. And Fernando notes about the Jeff Cobb departure. I think they just signed him, so AEW couldn't. Possible points as well, and the money was probably a little bit thicker by WWE, but didn't mean anything at the end of the day, ultimately. And Curry Head also circles back. I feel like TKO is cutting the fat so they can sell it. Believe me, I have that funny feeling they are going to sell it, and you know that's going to be ugly for those diehard WWE fans. That has been the consensus for a minute now, that their goal is to basically sell the company. Once they have the profits fattened up and you raise the value, they're going to sell it. Now, the question is who they're going to sell it to. That's my fear. Ooh. I'm scared. You know, I think it might go to someone that wants to own the content. Maybe Netflix, maybe Disney. That's the end game. I don't see who else would want it. I thought that NBC would want it, but when you left for ESPN, I don't think they want to touch you. So I just wonder, like, if you do have this prime for a sale in the next 5 years or so, who would be a buyer?
Anthony Khan.
I would think so. He has the funds to do it. He was a contender.
Nah. Yeah, actually, I'm kind of with Fernando. I think Saudi buying him. It's about to be the, I think Saudi ended up buying him. There's no way. They're not gonna let Tony Khan buy them. You can't do that. You can't get bought by the guy that by the number two. You can't get bought by somebody underneath you. Can't happen.
No, that'd be crazy, but you never know. But Saudi Arabia, you know what? They just dropped Live Golf. But I do wonder, like, in WWE, do you want all of that? And you know, do media companies want to negotiate with Saudi Arabia? I don't know. I really don't know. We shall see if that is going to be the end game for sure, because they got the capital. They have limitless resources to buy anything they want to buy, but at the same time, it's going to require television partners to line up, and they have them. But being in bed with Saudi fully, some companies might shy away from that. We shall see. And then Curry knows this is the first time in over 30 years of national expansion that WWE, the whole product, it's subpar from top to bottom. I will say that elements of that is true, but I do think that, as I predicted at the top of the year, that WWE is at an inflection point, you know, and it's going to be dependent on fans because, as I always said, there's a difference between UFC fans and wrestling fans, and it's about how much you're willing to tolerate, how much you're willing to spend, and what is your ceiling? Because you can complain about releases and you can complain about the creative of it all, but if you're still buying tickets, if you're still watching the television on Netflix, USA, the CW every single week, if you're still watching the PLEs, then what are you really proving to the company? That you're still willing to settle and watch any old thing. So at some point, that bubble has to burst for the fans to say, when is enough enough? Are you going to sign up for Club WWE and get all this instant access to these tickets and these extra perks and stuff? Like, how far are you willing to go if things aren't operating the way they should? What is your limit as a fan? That is what fans have to ask themselves. How long are you willing to put money into this machine when it's not giving you back a return that you want?
Yeah, and we're starting to see that now. So we'll see how long TKO can hold out as far as either the prices or the storylines or just who's still there.
Yeah, Paul Levesque did re-up for now. But as we all know, in WWE, contracts ain't guaranteed. You can level up for a year and then they cut you a year later. They might ask Paul if like, you want to take a pay cut? Because money's real skinny right now. And as Curry Head also knows, the best storyline in all of WWE is AAA. Yeah, AAA is cooking. Undertaker, potential booker of the year. AAA is cooking on Saturday nights. The most simplistic, fun book show in WWE, an hour on AAA every night on YouTube. On Saturday, I should say.
Yeah. Undertaker likes that. You only got to worry about 1 hour. That's it. You're good.
Yeah, and Fernando, maybe WWE Paramount and Skydance. Too much debt, Fernando. They're in so much debt. Like, even if this deal goes through, debt is bad. They need investors to get more money if they were to do that. So it's tough for sure. So we've made our peace with the new day departing WWE. We wish Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston well. They're going to be all right. Trust and believe that they've done a great job in WWE and they will flourish wherever they go next. I do want to briefly touch on some highlights from Monday Night Raw from Omaha, Nebraska, the go-home show before WWE Backlash going down this Saturday in Tampa, Florida on ESPN. First hour will be airing on ESPN2 at 6 o'clock p.m. First match will be Braun Breaker versus Seth Rollins. And the show kicked off with Braun beating up Seth. Seth tries to pay Braun back later in the show, only for him to get speared again. And the tension between Seth and the Street Profits continues, Scott.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this match. And I think this match will be very telling as far as who is going to or what Braun Breaker has in store for his summer plans.
And summer plans, what may they be?
Oh, I think if Braun Breaker wins this match, I think it's going to be him and whoever is champion at SummerSlam. I think he goes after the belt at SummerSlam, and we might see a little bit of a youth movement going forward.
Yeah, I can see that as well. Very possible, for sure. We'll get to predictions for that match in a moment. Elsewhere, we had Soruka make her official main roster debut by signing her contract to Monday Night Raw. Becky Lynch interrupts, of course, trying to make the segment all about her. And Soruka calls her out for it. And then in a unfortunate occurrence, I think nerves got the best of her because she's never messed up the Soul Snatcher from the jump, but she did. And I have people like joking, it's AI, it's not real. Like, it happened. She'll be okay, but you want to hit that spot in the moment to truly make it count, and you can't get it back. I felt for her because I said, nerves, nerves, nerves. It got her a little bit, but she'll be okay. You just got to take a deep breath, settle down, and know that you got this. It's okay. But yeah, that was a not great way to end the segment when she didn't hit it the way that you wanted to hit it.
Yeah, that'll be right. Honestly, they might as well just turn into the story and just play it up as nerves, talk about it next week, get in front of it, let Becky Lynch make fun of her for it. And then when she hits it, make sure she stands over her and looks at it. It's like, was that better? You know, mm-hmm. I would just completely play into it next week.
Yep. I saw you laughing now. Am I a joke right to you now? Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully they recover from that in due time. Also on Monday Night Raw, we had the Americanos versus the Americanos. You know what? We're good. I'm good. Let's keep this a triple R. Let's just keep this where the heat is, where the emotion is. Because when we bring this to Monday Night Raw, when we bring this to domestic television, it ain't hitting the same. Because Undertaker's not here to put his hot sauce on it. So therefore, we're good. We don't need this on Monday Night Raw. I know they're trying to cross promote saying they can't touch in Mexico, but they can in the United States. Cool. But the juice and the flavor ain't here. It's just not the same. And it's okay. Just keep it in triple A, where it belongs.
Yeah, and it's just complete opposite as well. So once the storyline gets over, then we'll kind of move on from it. And Chad Gable can go back to just kind of being the mini Kurt Angle.
Yeah. I mean, listen, take the mask off, go back to being one of the elite wrestlers in the world, ball out the way that you should, because Lord knows we need it on Monday Night Raw, undoubtedly so right now. Elsewhere, we have the Obafemi Open Challenge, and the challenge originally was going to be Akira Tozawa. He quickly realized, I value my life, and Otis tapped in, and my God, Obafemi laid this man out with a sickening uppercut, and he said, you know what? I'm going to powerbomb him, but I'm going to be intelligent by getting him on the middle rope, lifting him up, and dropping with a power bomb for the victory. And that popped the crowd. I know there were some reservations about the open challenge. Totally get it. But if you deliver hosses to Obafemi to just destroy every single week, this could work until a real challenger steps up. And I'm hoping that one of these days it will be Sheamus.
Yeah, Sheamus is a good one. Omos is still out there. But yeah, this works really well. Good way to start it off. Otis is a big body to toss around, so it's a good visual for Omos. And the ruler continues to rule over Monday night.
He is a highlight for sure. Elsewhere, we had All Ego Ethan Page and Rusev defeat the IC champion Penta and Javon Evans to build towards maybe a fatal four-way for the IC title at some point very soon. Won't be a backlash because of course, we have a 5-match minimum.
Yeah, the Rusev-Ethan Page pairing is pretty good. That's one that I hope they continue to run with it and kind of let flourish a little bit.
Me too. Love the chemistry. And, of course, I want Javon to win a singles title sometime in WWE this year. They're slow burning it, obviously. Hopefully they pay it off at some point as well. Then we had our main event segment, the contract signing between the World Heavyweight Champion Roman Reigns and the challenger Jacob Fatu. I will be honest, they said words I heard before. It was kind of recycled. Jacob whooped that ass, and he's so losing on Saturday. But hey, at least he got one over on Roman again to close the show.
Yeah, I think it's just hard to be built up against Roman Reigns at this point. He's on a whole different level. And if you're not a top tier either babyface or you're not a heel who can just get massive heat against him, you're going to have a hard time. But I think Fatu's done a good job. I think they've done as much as they can in a limited amount of time of building him up. He took out the whole MFTs by himself, and he basically had Roman Reigns begging Adam Pearce to get this man off of me. So
yes,
that's about as much as you can do in a couple weeks.
And that's impressive. It won't result in a title change, but it does, like, you know, give you the possibility of what could be, even though it won't be. But that's how you build a challenger up to be dangerous, to be someone that Roman should be scared of, to the point that he's asking for Adam Pearce to help me, please get this man off me, get my fam off me. And yeah, that's how the show ended. Just a promo, didn't do much for me, a little bit redundant. Like, we heard this before, didn't scratch any new ground or surface in that regard. But the main event should be very good on Saturday night. And it should be noted that before the show started, Roman wanted to come out there first because he was hot after last week. And he ran into his old enemy, Seth Rollins. So down the road, they're going to pay off that match.
Oh, yeah, that's WrestleMania next year.
Or 2028, because it's Saudi Mania, and, you know, we're not going to get that.
We're not. We might. If The Rock's not wrestling Roman, we're going to get that.
Oh, we're going to get The Rock wrestling because they're going to pay that man $30 million to wrestle his cousin.
Oh, well. That's cool. I'm with it. I'm cool for the 8 minute sprint.
Listen, the prince would be like, "Nah, I need 15. I'm paying you 30. I need 15 from you, Dwayne."
The first five will just be poses. They'll just be looking back and forth, just like The Rock and Hogan, just looking back and forth, walk around, test the strength. One person knocks the other in the corner, shoulder tackle. That's the first 6 minutes right there.
Oh, yeah. And then after that, they'll milk the camera. They'll milk the face off their cell, and they do their finishers for a bit. Yeah, that's what they do in that situation for sure. I can expect. But before we dive into the backlash predictions, I do want to note another departure, Scott. A sad departure. This one was stunning. I did not expect to see this on Friday Night SmackDown, but I did. And we have to talk about this. I want to be very serious for a moment, to quote Lance Storm. I want to remark the passing of the Gingerbread Man.
Yeah. I mean, that's about as heelish of a move as you can do. So I guess Sami Zayn's full-blown heel now in my book.
I mean, he killed the Gingerbread Man. He killed him. Murked him. It was sad, man. They did a graphic, man. And they had Gingy at the pearly gates. And we have a homegoing ceremony for him on SmackDown on Friday. I need Trick in all black to celebrate this man's life and what he gave, and to commemorate his gumdrops.
Yeah, I guess they really going with the double turn right here, because the crowd's going to get pretty excited when Trick comes out to save the Gingerbread Man.
Well, he's dead, Scott. He can't save him.
Oh, yeah. He's going to bring him back to life. He's going to bring an oven out. He's going to put him back in the oven, and he's just going to reheat him up.
So what you're saying is he's going to rise from the casket. And I'm alive. I'm back.
You just put the casket in the microwave.
Oh, my God. First of all, morbid. Very morbid of you. Don't you know he's going to melt if you do that?
Nah, that'd be fine.
You're cremating the Gingerbread Man. He's going to be dust.
It's okay.
My God, shameful. Back. God, rude. Very rude. Joe Test Breaking sent me, because that man could not keep it together. When that picture came up, he was gone. Like, how can you even explain what this was?
Well, that's why I started laughing, because he was like, well, I can't explain it, so I'm just going to laugh through my segment.
And he did. He absolutely did. Alrighty, now it is time to officially dive into the Backlash 2026 preview and predictions. Things we expect to possibly maybe happen this Saturday at Backlash, kicking off the first hour on ESPN2 at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And this is the card as of right now. This match will air on ESPN2, Seth Rollins versus Bron Breakker. I got, because of how the show went about tonight, Seth.
I got Bron. I think he gets back on track, and we start Seth. I think Seth Rollins' story is going to be very similar to when he's turned babyface after he was the ultimate opportunist for the longest time after he cashed in after his title run. So I think he slow burns his babyface ways back, but he's going to lose this to Bron Breakker.
I would have said that if he didn't get beat down twice in the same show. That's why I'm leaning towards Seth, because you know that WWE booking psychology tells you if you're down the days before the pay-per-view or PLE, you're going to most likely win your match. That's why I got Seth. Unless they triple down on Bron Breakker by winning, we shall see. But I got Seth, so I love the split. We are at a difference here regarding who's going to win this match, which brings us to match number two, Io Sky versus Asuka, to culminate their feud. It's been going on for months. And I got Io Sky winning this match.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got Io Sky as well. I think it should be a pretty decisive victory as well.
I think so. Do you think Kairi Sane comes back to at least complete this storyline?
No. I think we get an insane elbow. I bet you Io Sky throws one of those out to kind of give her a little love, but I don't think Kairi shows up.
The streets are saying 50-50. We shall see. Just pay off the story, but we shall see. I wouldn't come back. You cut me out your damn mind. Do what? This is a new contract. I ain't come back. Do shit. But never mind. Elsewhere, Trick Williams with Lil Yachty versus Sami Zayn in a rematch for the WWE United States Championship. I got Trick.
I think Trick too, but something telling me that Sami Zayn's going to kick him in the balls and get this title back, man. I just got this really bad feeling that Sami's getting that title back. I think they just wanted to give Trick a big moment at WrestleMania. And then now Sammy's going to be heel and get the title back and make Trick chase. I think Sami gets the title back.
Wow.
I hope I'm wrong, but I think Sami completes that heel turn and gets the title back.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking of the possibility of Sami versus Cody later in the year, too. Because they're still talking later in the year, too. Because Cody's talking spicy, saying, we ain't alike. We're not the last of a dying breed. We're not the last of the good guys. I'm a good guy. Who are you? You talking shit about me? I'm the golden boy. You think I'm going to let that slide? Like, I think they're building towards that. I know that it's frosty and it's cold as hell when we see Sami turning heel, but they had no choice, man. The man was bitched out as a babyface. The man lost 25 times to Drew McIntyre. What else we was going to do? What else were we going to do with them? We had to pivot.
Yeah.
Now, Fernando, the Cookie Monster will appear and call out Sami for revenge for the Gingerbread Man. First of all, they got to get Sesame Street money to pull up Cookie Monster, and Cookie Monster's eating cookies in moderation now. The man's on a vegetable diet, eating lean, so we'll see.
That's crazy.
Yes.
You know what? Just keep that to yourself next time. Talk about some he on a diet, he eating lean. I don't want to hear about the Cookie Monster being on any diet, eating lean. He better not be eating no vegan cookies. Like,
he is.
What are we doing? Stop it.
He's eating broccoli, Brussels sprouts.
He's not the healthy monster. He's the Cookie Monster. He's not supposed to eat nothing but cookies.
I know, but he is. Listen, they wrote him to say he was eating too much cookies. It was unhealthy. So you have to eat a balanced diet, man. You got to eat one cookie a day.
One cookie a day. I don't even just have one cookie per sitting.
Oh my God.
Like, what are we talking about? One per day. You know what? This is why I don't let my kids watch Sesame Street. And now you just reaffirmed it, that they will never be watching Sesame Street.
Shame on you. Listen, the classics are on YouTube. If you want your traditional Cookie Monster eating those cookies all the time, okay? Rice Cake Monster. Thank you, Fernando. Line of the night. Rice Cake Monster. Let me tell you something. I went to Kroger the other week, man, and they have leveled up the rice cakes, man. Flavorful, a little fluffier. Come on, man.
Nah, that's crazy.
All right, Scott's like, shame, shame. All right, so I got Trick Williams winning, despite Scott saying it's a possible Sami Zayn upset to solidify this heel turn. We shall see. Wouldn't shock me, but we shall see. Then our next match, Danhausen versus To Be Determined versus The Miz and Kid Wilson in a tag team match. I got Danhausen versus whoever.
Yeah, Danhausen is going to win. Gomazan is going to do what he does best and get somebody else over. And as far as who he's going to pick, I don't know. It's got to be somebody decent of name value, but not really sure who that would be.
Yeah, it makes me wonder too, like, who are you going to bring out to be your tag team partner willingly for this match? It better not be no Jelly Roll. I swear to God, it better not. But we'll see. We'll see. Well, Jelly Roll ain't doing nothing right now because that tour got canceled. But never mind. He has time. He ain't number time. But let's bring forth the main event of this show, which is Roman Reigns, the World Heavyweight Championship. Fernando says Mr. Iguana, possibly, as Danhausen's partner. Listen, that is licensed to print money, those two together.
Wouldn't hate that at all, actually.
Mm-mm. Same here. And it's Roman Reigns, our World Heavyweight Champion, versus Jacob Fatu before Roman goes on vacation for the month of June. He will win this match. Undoubtedly so.
I'm going to go with Jacob Fatu.
Wow. You're going for the upset.
Yeah, I'm making a big bet right here on Fatu. I think he wins the match. I think he becomes a new tribal chief. I think he takes it all. He wants it all. He takes it all. Roman's taking the month off. Roman said he's not doing no Saudi shows. Jacob will. I think Jacob wins the belt.
All right. You being very bold. We will reconvene. I think there's going to be a post show live this weekend if we're hosting it. Let's see if Scott's right. Let's see if he's a prophet. He's making some bold predictions here. Now, as we saw, when someone is choked out, laid out multiple times, we have to lean towards that person winning their match. So we shall see. So Fernando asks a question. Will we ever know for sure who took out Jacob? No. That is an unsolved mystery at this point.
No, we know who did it. It was AI.
Copilot did it.
Yeah, we know who did it.
Gemini did it. That's who did it. Of course it was, because AI is confirmed to be used in WWE creative meetings, of course. So yes, AI is responsible. Absolutely. All righty. So those are our predictions. Scott went bold. I went safe. We'll see who fares out on the other side and reconvene after the show, hopefully this weekend, right here on the Fike Media Network YouTube channel. But with that, that is a wrap for the wrap right here on this very network for your listening and viewing pleasure. I want to thank Salty Scott Young for joining me to recap the career of the New Day in WWE, the highs and lows of Monday Night Raw, and our backlash preview and predictions.
Thank you, Keila. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Shout out to everyone in the chat, Fernando, Curry Man, all y'all. Appreciate y'all showing up. And yeah, looking forward to a good week, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Yes, absolutely. It's a fun show as always. Thank you guys for joining. Fernando, Curryhead, thank you for pulling through as well. We'll be back next week to recap the fallout from Backlash on Monday Night Raw. So until then, enjoy the rest of the week ahead. If you're watching NXT and SmackDown, the Go Home Show this Friday on USA, as our 3 hours wind down at least for the summer. Thank God. Let me reclaim my time on Friday nights. Blessings. So until then, Enjoy the week ahead. We'll see you hopefully this weekend talking about Backlash. For myself and for the one and only Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Take care and bye-bye.